Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Thank you very much, Brian. We haven't had a weather forecast like that in quite a while, but it is across the water we go now because British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is to consider drafting in the army to help deliver fuel to petrol stations running dry across the country. It follows days of long queues at the pumps after fears of disruption to the fuel supply sparked panic buying. Boris Johnson will gather senior members of his cabinet this afternoon to discuss an existing Ministry of Defence contingency plan in the event of a supply crisis. Nick Garnett from BBC Radio 5 Live has been speaking to people trying to get fuel at a Sainsbury's in Greater Manchester this morning.
I think it's a joke. I've been to like 9 petrol stations and all the petrol stations are out of petrol. So this is my last luck. I'm like on flashing orange right now.
I'm queuing for my wife because she's panicking. I'm not. It's my wife's car.
It's madness, absolute madness at the moment.
But you're in it.
Yeah, I'm in it. Well, what else can I do? I've been all the way around the area and there's no petrol available. There's only this one up to now. I've been to 5.
Why the need for fuel? Have you got much left or what?
I've got 12 miles left and I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
I wouldn't be queuing, but my light went on yesterday, so I have no choice. And I have a baby and jobs to take care of and...
And would you be worrying this much normally or not?
No.
So you've got a quarter of a tank there.
Oh, I don't like it. Oh, believe me, it goes through it, this. It's a big van. Obviously, I work as well, so I need to make sure I've got sufficient petrol in there.
I'm a midwife. I live in Cheshire and I need to go to Manchester. So I need fuel to get to attend work. But my mum is in a care home and seriously ill in Harrogate and we've just travelled from there.
And what do you think of the situation?
I think it's another consequence of Brexit. It's ridiculous that we're in this situation as a country.
That's Nick Garnett there from the BBC. And there were 35 people in that queue for petrol at the Sainsbury's supermarket in Greater Manchester this morning. With more on this, I'm joined on the line by freelance journalist Vincent McAvinney. Vincent, I know you've spent the morning in an 18-wheeled lorry witnessing the chaos at fuel stations. Tell us what things are like where you are.
Yeah, that's right. I'm actually at a petrol station now in Brantford, so not far from Manchester. About half the pumps are working, half are shut because they're running low on fuel. And there's a small queue here. But yesterday I had to drive up from London. In London, I had to go to 3 different petrol stations. On the third one, I then had to queue for half an hour to get petrol. And on the drive up north, about half the petrol stations I was passing were already closed. They had gone empty. And the ones that were open, even ones just off the motorway, had huge queues at them.
So what is happening? What's going on?
Well, I spoke to haulage drivers this morning at a company up here that does logistics across the UK, and they said that it is really a combination of factors. Yes, there is Brexit with the European drivers going, the lack of testing that's been done because the DVLA effectively shut down for most of the COVID pandemic. But it's also a change in generations. You're not getting younger people coming into the profession because the money they can get the same elsewhere, doing stuff for supermarkets, doing deliveries of groceries, doing package deliveries, where they can then get home at the end of the day. They want work-life balance. They don't want to be sleeping at a cab on the side of a motorway, sort of making food themselves, not having proper facilities. And they say there has to be a big investment in the UK in the services, because as well, they said the petrol stations, you know, they're about 12,000 short when it comes to spaces at the motorway sort of services, petrol stations as it is. So sometimes you just can't get in. And if you can get in, they're not secure. They've had their vans attacked by organized criminal gangs. So unless there is a big change in how the industry operates, they're not going to get drivers in that they need.
And drivers have many more options now. I know you touched on it there, but there's been an explosion, particularly over the course of the pandemic, Vincent, in demand for parcel delivery drivers. And those people can work, as you say, close to home and quite possibly have a better life doing that work.
Yeah, that's right. And the drivers I spoke to today said there's also a bit of a negative kind of press around and also attitude towards lorry drivers, that they're always the ones responsible for the accidents and that they do take on board a lot of responsibility for road safety. But also, you know, actually, a lot of them have to stock the van themselves. They have to unload it themselves. They can be kept waiting for hours at a time at depots. And that with all the rules and regulations, it can make it very hard for them to kind of plan plan their days, to plan their weeks, and they just don't want to do that anymore. Younger people, particularly men, you know, it's not the case where they would, your wives were happy, they were saying for you to go away 5-6 days and not see the kids. The men themselves, the younger men, want to be at home, they want to be around, and so they're taking those better options.
Mm-hmm. And there aren't many women in the industry either.
No, it's around 2%. And the boss I spoke to at the company today, she's a woman. She's ran it for 40 years. And she says she's tried everything over the decades to get more women into the industry. But it's really hard. She says that she's got a couple of people coming on now, but that it's all down to the kind of services and provisions that are put in place. Because, you know, it's bad enough for men, but for women at service stations, there is just no accommodation.
OK, I just see from Reuters, the UK Environment Secretary saying we're bringing in Ministry of Defence trainers to clear a backlog of HGV tests. But the whole procedure around getting the driver from the theory test all the way through to being in employment is a long road. So I'm not sure how they're going to solve that problem quickly.
Yeah, and I spoke to guys this morning about the ideas that they've got about extending driver hours and also making it easier to qualify. And they said it is going to make the roads less safe, that drivers are already doing really long hours, and that putting kind of younger drivers with less experience straight from cars into articulated lorries, which is the plan that Grant Shapps, the transport secretary here, has. So not going, first of all, to the small vans, which are kind of a fixed structure, but putting them straight into these articulated lorries is a recipe for chaos on the roads, because it takes a long time to get used to them, to get used to the physics of the movement. And so they just said that this was going to be dangerous and can't be done in time for Christmas. It will take, you know, up to a year to get this through the system to try and get us back to normal levels.
And what are you hearing about these reports that the army will be drafted in to drive the HGVs?
Well, that does seem to be the plan that the government's got. What I spoke to, the guy I spoke to this morning was actually ex-army himself. He learned to drive a HGV with the army, but he says, you know, it's fine, I can drive whatever vehicle you need, but it's actually the fueling procedures that they will then need help with. So in order to fuel those vehicles before they leave the depot, and then the assistance that they'll need when they get to petrol stations in order to unload it, they'll need all that training as well.
Okay, and some commentary is pointing the finger at the media. I know I was listening to the BBC early on Friday morning and they were talking about shortages at some petrol stations. They were saying it quite a lot. You know, it was a theme of the programme I was listening to. But they kept saying, but don't panic, but don't panic. But people don't hear the don't panic bit, do they?
Yeah, I don't think they do. But it doesn't, you know, whilst there has been a bit of accusation towards that in the media, the communications from the government have also been wrong. I mean, we saw at the start of the pandemic, if you say to people, don't panic buy, you actually then give more voice to the idea that there is a panic going on. And we had government ministers and secretaries of state tweeting on Friday in block capitals, there is no fuel shortage, don't panic buy. Well, that inevitably then creates a worry and a concern, and people are doing it. So it is ridiculous they've done that. I'm not quite sure why, though, service stations haven't, you know, the companies haven't put a block on people filling up with jerry cans. We have seen people doing that over the weekend, and they should have really stopped that behavior from going on, because that just creates an even bigger problem for people. But yeah, it is inevitably just human nature that if they think this is going to happen, they will try and sort themselves out.
And Vincent, if there's a shortage of HGV drivers, if that's the main driver behind this, excuse the awful pun, are other areas going to suffer supply shortages too, other sectors?
Yeah, and you know, anyone who's been to a British supermarket in the last 3, 4, 5 weeks will have started to see the range start to narrow a bit, and also empty shelves. That is something that we are seeing. There's also concerns as well that we might not be getting there's a slowdown in the supply of medicines to hospitals, and anyone that's needing spare parts for things. I had to get a spare part for my car last week, and it took what they said should have been a kind of normal time, you know, 48 hours for it to come down. It in the end up took 10 days for it to arrive. Mm-hmm. So there definitely is, through the system, a lot of problems in the supply chain.
Have you filled the tank?
Yes, I managed to do it yesterday for this drive up north. But I mean, I've got to drive back down to London on Wednesday. So hopefully it's not too much of an issue then.
And tell me about the supermarket, just from your own experience, because we're hearing anecdotally that people are having to go to one shop for the meat, another shop for the vegetables, another shop for something else. Is it as bad as all that?
Yeah, it is. In the last week, it definitely has changed. You walk into a supermarket and you see a lot of empty shelves. Anyone that's doing online orders as well, there's a lot of item swaps or things just unavailable. So it definitely is starting to bite. And I think a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of criticism going around of the promises that were made by the government during the Brexit campaign, that food was going to be, you know, we're going to have so much more range. It was all going to be much cheaper. Well, that is not the case. We are seeing in the kind of recent days, the emptying of shelves, and also prices are really going up. You are starting to notice now that those price increases are being put on the customer.
Vincent, thank you very much indeed for all of that. Vincent McAvinny there, freelance journalist in England. And we've had a message from a truck driver covering two of the items we've been discussing on the programme. This person drives trucks all over the continent. It's Sean. Hello, Sean, of Europe from Ireland every week. And I listen to loads and loads of audiobooks. It's a fantastic way to pass long, long, lonely days. Great idea, Sean. I'm glad you're finding the time to listen to us too. Coming up next, how COVID is affecting children's waiting lists.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.